This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
Who's the one that's been sidelined for almost 2 weeks? Who's the one with sickness? Oh, you've been hanging around with Channing Tindall?
Oh, yeah. A little bit, yeah. My buddy Channing.
How concerned are you with some of the injuries or any injuries?
Well, the fact that X was back on the field today, albeit on a limited basis, certainly is good news. And then Sam Madison said earlier today that he's fully expecting him to play. So that's good. Teron Armstead's going to remain a mystery, I guess, every week, because while he doesn't need the practice because of his credentials and all that, you look at the injury report, it doesn't have any designation whatsoever of injury related, of vet rest. It's strictly toe.
Right.
Both days, both yesterday and today.
Yeah, but it's probably really precautionary and they're just, whatever, just put it's, toe.
Yeah, no, yeah. But correct, but it also, the possibility exists that he played on an injured toe last week. And it's not like Mike McDaniel is going to volunteer that, by the way, he aggravated the injury and all that. So obviously there's reason to remain optimistic that he's going to play Sunday, but there is still a degree, however small, of uncertainty there. Outside of that, the two tight ends are not practicing, but then again, they can go into a second consecutive game with just the three tight ends, Gesicki, Smythe, and Tanner Connor. So,
okay.
And the flip side of that is Buffalo's got quite the list of injuries too.
Yes.
And you notice today, no Micah Hyde, no Jordan Poyer, and no Dane Jackson. That's three starting cornerbacks. I mean,
we just talked to Jay Skursky from the Buffalo News right before you, and he was talking about all the. In fact, he picked Miami to win.
I can see that.
Yeah. He picked Miami to win, he said, because of all the injuries, short week, getting him by surprise with all this, that he's actually picking – he's been impressed, in fact, with Miami. Looks like he wasn't a Tua guy, but now he's kind of getting – you know, he's – like a lot of people, they're trying to get convinced about him or whatever and all that, because obviously the jury's still out on him and all that. But he actually picked Miami, which – That's very interesting. I took Miami yesterday +6.5. So I said,
I like
it went down to six, but I was like, you know what, man? Because really, Alan, if you want to be what you want to be as a team, right? And as McDaniel said, you want to be good team. Well, you got to go beat the good teams, right? Well, on Sunday, you have to have a hell of a performance. You don't even have to win. But you have to – it can't be 35-10. It can't be what's gone on the last few years, because then you're going to go, oh, aberration 2-0. Yeah, aberration, you beat the Raven. Aberration, you beat the Pats. Oh, the Pats are terrible. You'll make the Pats even look even worse with that. You know what I mean? So in order to make Dolphin fans feel well or convince the periphery out there that if the Dolphins are for real, you either have to beat the Bills – or you have to play a close game, lose by a score or something, but there can't be another route this week, right?
Well, it's not because we want because
you know what I mean.
There won't be a route. I just think it's a different Dolphin team, and again, for Buffalo against the Rams and against Tennessee, it was kind of like a both perfect storm type of games. I mean, Buffalo's really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, are they 72-17 better than the Rams and Tennessee combined? I mean, that's there. Like I said, and the fact that they're so damn banged up, that's going to make a difference. And
especially where they're banged up, because that's Miami's strength.
No, correct. And the Dolphin defense. I wrote a story about this. I think it was yesterday. They held the Bills' offense in check pretty much the first half of both games last year.
Exactly. It was the second half when
thing, yep. And that's not going to happen this year, because even though the Buffalo pass rush is going to be a problem, Tua is going to get some pressure at times, like he didn't get against Baltimore, and he might get sacked three or four times.
Yep.
That's fine. But to me, Mike McDaniel's genius and his creativity is good enough. It's impressed me enough to the point where I'm confident that he'll come up with some stuff, maybe more quick hitting stuff.
Exactly.
To counteract that, you could see more screen passes, for example, which is a way to slow down a rush.
That's exactly what I just told Jay Skursky, that I expect quick decisions and the running backs to be factors coming out of the backfield because of that pressure. I can see Mostert and Chase popping out to the flats and Tua just dumping it off to them and just, you know, let them do what they do all the time. And I would imagine some bubble screens and maybe put Tyreek and Waddle in motion at times to create even more confusion, more advantages, because, of course, you're going to have a whole bunch of backups out there at safety and at corners.
Correct. And I did the research, like the numbers again, the game against Baltimore Dolphins at 218 yards after catch. I mean, that's a good number. And I would expect they're going to have a pretty high number again against Buffalo. And again, as you mentioned, on the road, short week after a Monday night. Yeah. No, like I told you before, I think I told you Monday that my bold prediction before the season, before I had seen the Dolphins play, was that they would end the losing streak in week three here. And there's nothing I've seen to change my mind, really. And that's including as good as Buffalo's been the first 2 weeks.
Something I talked about, and like your thoughts on this. Not only has Miami exercised the demon in the Baltimore Ravens, because obviously, just like the team they're playing on Sunday, the Ravens have owned them. And they went and beat them last year at home, and then they beat them this year on the road. But to me, what stood out in this game, you saw Duvernay get the Malachi crunch. Lamar Jackson not practicing on Wednesday with the elbow injury. He didn't even throw a pass. You saw Alec Ingold just level and hit people all over the place. I saw Robert Hunt get a dude and just, like, squash him. It wasn't a pancake. It was worse than a pancake. It was a pancake that flopped over several times. What I saw was Miami not only won, but Miami gave the Ravens a taste of their own medicine. They didn't beat them just with finesse. They also punched them in the mouth, which is not something we're used to, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Agree or disagree on that?
Well, I mean, they won on offense because of the big plays and the speed and the passing and all that. It wasn't like they pounded them into submission.
No.
But so I think it would, that was more an issue. And it wasn't just that the Dolphins that hadn't won at Baltimore. They'd gotten smoked.
Yeah.
If you remember, like 40-0, 38-6.
Yeah.
They hadn't even been competitive, and they'd been blown off the field. And maybe trying to match like power with power where they couldn't hang. Now they can hang, even though that's not their game. That's their game defensively to me. Like they have a very physical defensive line. And Landon Roberts, while not great in coverage and all that, that guy's a thumper in the middle of that.
Amen.
I mean, let's give the guy his credit. He has balled big time the first two games.
Oh, yeah. No. I like Landon. He just has that weakness that you're talking about, of course. And listen, it's not easy to find that middle linebacker that can thump and then also – drop back and run. That shit is very difficult to find, and I'm sure they want to find it. I'm sure they're looking for it. You know, they brought Benardrick McKinney was another guy they brought in last year because he's a thumper. That's kind of what his game is, but he also has the same kind of limitations. It's not an easy thing to find that linebacker. You know, everybody thinks Derek Brooks grows on trees and shit. You know, that's not normal, man.
No, and McKinney's a weird one to me because he had actually some pass rush ability, I think, one year in Houston.
Yes,
and then
yes.
Dolphins dumped him, and that dude's, like, disappeared. I don't even know if he's still in the league anymore.
Yeah.
No, so going back to your point.
But I saw more physical presence by Miami in this game than I'd seen, I don't know, in years.
Well, that wasn't a very high bar. If we're going to compare it to what they'd shown in previous games at Baltimore – yeah, they got pushed around big time.
Dude, Alec Ingold alone put a highlight reel together. Just him alone. But I saw some guys on the offensive line, you know, hit some people. I just thought it was nice to see, you know, that they sent messages all over the place. And then when you see Duvernay go out And then you see now Lamar Jackson's banged up. You know, it's nice to see that Miami also can play a little physical. And you need it, bro, because, again, this is the same thing. This is a better monster that you're dealing with. And this is a monster that can just pummel you into submission. And they've done it already several times to the Dolphins. So they've got to respond the same way. And they've got to bring some of the toughness that they showed in the Ravens game. They've got to bring it to this game for sure, man.
And I did, to me, I hate to be the contrarian here, even though.
Go for it.
I guess that's what I do. But to me, it's going to be more about execution, both on offense and defense, more so than physicality. I think if they start going nuts with the X's and O's and mess with Leslie Frazier's scheme on defense, that's where they'll win the game. And on defense, confuse Josh Allen and frustrate him like you did first half, especially the first half last year in Buffalo. If you remember, it's 3-3 at the half, and they were making him look bad. So that to me is going to be the key, because I don't necessarily – I mean, obviously it helps if you out-physical the Bills. That without a doubt is going to help, and there are certain plays where it's going to make a difference. But ultimately, to me, it's going to come down more to X's and O's and executing those.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now that you've gone into the locker room a lot – and then you're watching, you know, because when I go in the locker rooms on Wednesdays, you know, I see Tua, and I see him either, you know, talking with different players or watch them play ping pong with Tyreek or whatever it is. Then you watch the MVP stuff and getting slimed and all of that stuff. Is that perception kind of gone already about that he's not, you know, getting along with his teammates or hanging out with his teammates or socializing with his teammates or all of that kind of stuff? Do you think that that's kind of a narrative that's kind of gone already at this point by now? Do people look at Tua differently in that sense? Forget about the play. I'm talking about the personality.
No, I kind of get the feeling it's not even an issue anymore. And again, even to start with, was it really – I mean, he's not, unless he's Bo Callahan, who's like throws a birthday party and nobody goes. Get the reference. Come on. And unless we're talking about that, I mean, who gives a crap? Seriously. But no, that narrative shouldn't. I'm not sure it should have been out there in the first place. And if it was, it's certainly gone. And it was, yeah. How shocking that it was Christian Wilkins who slimed Tua for the Nickelodeon thing, right?
Yes. Yes. Walker. Yes. Yeah. But I got to say something. I talked about this. I don't want Christian Wilkins anywhere near celebrations. Nothing. He almost killed Kader Kohou a couple days ago. Bro. He does some things that he did. He did a couple celebrations in the last week and a half that he put some people in danger. He's got a tone down. He had this arm pump that he crashed with one player. And I swear to God, the guy was half his size. And he did it, like, and I'm like, yo, you're going to tear that guy's arm out of his socket. What is wrong with you? And so I was worried that he was going to blind Tua with the slime. Seriously.
Tua on the injury report.
I swear to you, I'm going to track down Christian Wilkins when I see him. If I see him next Wednesday, I'll say, Christian, brother, we got to do something. We got to put some bubble wrap on your ass when it comes to like celebrations, because you are a dangerous cat out there.
That's
bro.
Funny. By the way, that dude is low-key balling too.
Oh, he's awesome. He's awesome. God, he's playing well. He played well last year. I mean, yeah.
No, but last year he had the numbers more so than this year. This year he doesn't have numbers, but he is
disrupting.
Killing it inside. I mean, yes. Big time.
Yeah. He's disrupting. I see it. And it's good because, you know, everybody was on his ass like, oh, well, he's not justifying his draft pick. And he's more than justified his draft pick now the last couple of years. Now, I think you're seeing he's turning into a hell of a player, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's one of those where you have to, like, don't get blinded by the numbers.
Right.
Because that's not what he's asked to do. He's not Aaron Donald. He's not going to get 12 sacks.
Right.
You know, something like that. But he, between him and Sealer who's also – damn, that guy's good. And Raekwon's like picked up his game from last year.
Yeah.
From what I've seen. They don't have a lot of bodies on the defensive line. They only have five listed as defensive linemen, but those guys are solid.
That's a strange position in the NFL because a lot of times it takes young guys a while to figure it out. And yeah, there's those few that will make the quick transition. They're monsters and whatever. But there's a lot of – it's like offensive linemen. There's a lot of offensive linemen that it takes them 2, 3, 4 years to kind of figure it out. Sometimes it takes them to get cut and go to their second team. And Billy – the guy we had here, Billy –
Turner.
Turner. Bro, what's he got, like a 10-year career now already going on? I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens with linemen. Paul Soliai was useless the first couple of years. Poor kid was, you know, his head was spinning trying to figure out. Hell, I remember when he first started, he had this weird stance where he would stand sideways. Do you remember that with Paul Soliai? And then they finally fixed it, and they had him standing straight up, like, I think year three or something like that. But it all technique and everything changed for him, and then the game elevated for him, and he became a monster. But it's
kind He also had a heart-to-heart. I think Sperano had a heart-to-heart with him, saying, "Get your shit in gear, or
probably
your career's not going to last." And then obviously, and then he became like a hell of a player.
Yeah. It's a strange position. There's a lot of guys at that position that it kind of takes them a little bit to kind of, you know, look. Zach Sealer, I guess he wasn't impressive in his first stop, right? And then he was available to steal from, where'd they steal him from? From the Ravens, right? Right. So you steal him from the Ravens, and there you go. You got yourself a hell of a gem in all of that. It's a really strange position. Would you agree?
Yep. No question. And like I said, the Dolphins are very good at that position.
Yes.
In terms of like run stuffing.
Yeah.
Defensive linemen. I mean, they had the one nasty breakdown when the Lamar long run, but also you take that run away, and the run defense was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, Bills are favored by 6. What's the prediction for you for this game? What are you doing? What are you picking?
Well, the final prediction, you remember, always Saturdays.
I know.
Okay, the unofficial prediction at this time, I think I've told you, I'm like very strongly leaning Dolphins, actually. For all the reasons that we mentioned. And yeah, I think getting 6 points, not that I'm advocating gambling here or promoting it, whatever, but certainly seems to be the way to go. And here's the other point I would make about the game.
By the way, folks, BetUS, you can get up to 200% in bonuses. Use our code Big O. We'll tell you. Go ahead, gamble. Let's go. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to make a point. This is a game where the potential rewards for the Dolphins are so insanely higher than the potential cost consequences if they lose.
Yes.
I mean, the only way this goes bad for the Dolphins after this is if they get smoked. And
right.
I don't see it.
Right.
If they hang with the Bills and they wind up losing, you'll get another shot at them. You still have to feel good about yourself at 2-1, and if they win and they go 3-0.
And they beat the Bengals, you're 3-1, and you're fantastic, bro. You know what I mean? If you play a good game against the Bills and lose, but then you go and beat the Bengals the following week, and you're 3-1, and you played a good game against the Bills, you should feel really good if you're a Dolphins fan.
No, can I tell you something that you think might be weird? I actually might have a better feeling about the Dolphins winning Sunday than I do at Cincinnati on Thursday.
I get it. Short week. Cincinnati has sucked. They got to get off the schneid. I get all that. There's a lot on the line for them because, as you know, if they lose this week, then they're like, oh, man, we can't lose anymore because we're not going to make the playoffs. So, yeah, you're right. It becomes bigger and bigger for them to win overall. Yeah. I'm with you there on that one. But there's no doubt that there's a lot riding for the Dolphins here. And confidence-wise, too, for that team. Because there's several guys there that haven't had success against the Bills. You start having success against the Ravens and the Bills on back-to-back weeks, two teams that have owned you, that's going to go far for this team, dude. That's going to go
big. But even if they just hang with the Bills, I think that would do good for their confidence. Where the only thing that they can't get blown up. That's the only thing.
Yeah. No.
I don't see it happening. But that's the one scenario where that would be problematic.
All right. Before I let you go, they don't need them, either one. Okay. But do you kind of feel that they're going to surprise us at one point this season, and say, Erik Azukama's active, and they're going to use him for, you know, they're probably going to give him a set of plays, or Tanner Connor is active, and they're going to use him for a certain set of plays. I almost feel like, because you don't keep young guys like this when you're 53 and put the time into them if you're not going to do something with them. I don't see them sitting on the bench the entire time. I think at some point, not right away, but some point in the next 6 to 10 weeks, I think we're going to see those cats be instituted at one point or another in some kind of game plan that that he draws up or thinks of.
And I think of those two, I was way more inclined to think it's going to be Tanner Connor before.
Isn't it interesting?
Because remember,
you're deep in the other one, and this guy adds a dimension that you don't have, the speed. I got you.
Well, not only that, but you had to keep Azukama on the 53, because right now they're basically telling you that they like River Craycraft more than they like Azukama. They had to keep Azukama. He was a rookie fourth-round pick. They weren't going to cut him.
Is that not genius roster management? Because technically you're playing with a 53-man roster. Because you know that nobody's taking Craycraft off your practice squad unless San Francisco has a whole bunch of injuries. Oh, he knows their system. Let's bring him over. But if not, nobody's really going to steal Craycraft from you. But Azukama, he showed so much that they'll steal him from you. So you keep him on your 50, on your 53. Oh, so you're playing with a 54-man roster. I'm sorry. And then you put this kid on the practice squad, and now you can activate him at any time. So you're kind of playing with an extra roster spot anyway.
But Big O, remember, it's at a 3-game limit for elevation. So Craycraft's got one more game, and then they'll have to sign him to 53, or they can't use him anymore.
Okay.
So going back to my point.
Good nugget, by the way. Thank you.
The reason they kept Tanner Connor is they were, like, really impressed. And I was told this, like, halfway through camp, that they loved the Tanner Connor. And watching practice, yeah, you can easily see why. So I would think at some point – they're gonna design some place for him.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you there. I had a conversation with him. We put it there on the platform, and he views himself a lot like a Kittle in a way that he wants to run you over after he catches the ball. So it's one of those. I think that's kind of what they want to see if they develop. But you could tell that while he's got the speed and all of that, you still have to develop that body. Because he still doesn't have the strength. He's, you know, I was standing next to him yesterday, and I was like, okay, you got the height, you got the frame, but you've got to fill that frame out in order to really play like Kittle or try to be something that even resembles that at this level. You're gonna have to build that body up, you know.
No, correct. Give him time, though. I think he's got the look of one of those like high achiever type of guys, you know.
So, yeah, I'm with you there.
I think he's got a nice future.
AllDolphins.com, you must subscribe. You are not really a real Dolphins fan unless you subscribe to AllDolphins.com from Sports Illustrated. Alan Pupar drives that page. What are you working on in that page, sir?
87 stories every day.
That's right.
I actually just posted one about X looking back at a rough day. And how that can't happen.
Well, it's a growing injury. Now we kind of know what happened.
It depends when he got hurt.
When I saw him giving Duvernay all that space, I was like, okay, I get you got to respect the speed, but that's like too much space. So it was, you can tell right away the way he was playing. It's like, yo, dude, that's not him.
Well, here's the thing, though. On the 75-yard touchdown, is if you notice, Baltimore went in motion and he kind of got set a little bit late and he didn't look to me like he was completely like necessarily ready at the snap. And then Bateman quickly got inside of him and then he didn't have the angle. But when he chased him down the field, I mean, he wasn't getting lapped by Bateman.
Right.
And X is not necessarily a burner per se. So X wasn't going to catch him. But he was running with him, so yeah. I don't know that if the groin injury happened during the game. I don't think it was at that point. It would be later on.
Yep. Andy says keep Craycraft on the 53 and Iggy Packin. I think they're going to give the entire year. I think Iggy's here until training camp next year. That's what he's playing for. I think it's a whole year of Sam and Pat working with him and see if they can reach him and develop him. And then into next year, that's when he's going to have to show some serious shine, because that's they no longer take cap hits anymore. So they'll they'll be able to cut him with no problem. So really, Iggy has a free ride until next offseason. Really.
Completely agreed.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see if he gets any kind of shot at some point during the season in the secondary, because so far it's inactive, and then special teams only against Baltimore.
Yeah, and the way Kohu's playing.
Correct.
By the way, you better – it's what I said 2 weeks ago when he came out for the first time. Keep him on the outside and leave Needham inside. Do not put Needham outside anymore. I love Needham as a slot. Don't like him as an outside guy. That's just me. Kohu has way more athleticism to play the boundary.
No, and I'll tell you, I'll be very curious to see what the Dolphins do if Gabriel Davis ends up playing Sunday, how they're going to match up outside. Obviously, X will be on one side, but then if they go Needham, you know, that's two pretty studly wide receivers you have to deal with right there. So
hell yeah. No, I'm with you there. All right, follow him on Twitter at PoopHardNFL. And again, alldolphins.com, Sports Illustrated. Make sure you subscribe there or put it on your bookmarks, alldolphins.com. Alan, as always, thank you, my brother. We'll catch up on Monday.
Sounds like a plan. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. There you go. Alan Poopard, Sports Illustrated, and our EJDConstruction.com Miami Dolphins report. And I've been telling you about EJD Construction for about 5 years now. 305-433-4843. Fully insured, liability, workers' comp. Do not hire anybody that is not fully insured. I tell you this all the time. I tell you with Cutter's Edge. I tell you with the EJD Construction. Why? Because if you allow people to work in your home and they're not insured, they can sue you if they get injured. You don't want that. Call them, 305-433-4843. Everything is just on deck there. If you're looking to create a second floor for your home, you need to redo the entire house, you need to build a new room or two, you got to build a family room, a fun room, a Florida room, whatever it is, they can help you out, expand it, reconstruct, remodel that entire home, the backyard. One of our listeners did a whole tiki hut. It's kind of like a tiki. It's not really a tiki. It's a little different, the roof, but it also has a full kitchen, barbecue, grease trap, and everything. It was really cool. I saw the pictures, by the way. EJD Construction, 305-433-4843. Save that number. Maybe you don't need it now. Maybe you need it 6 months from now, a year from now. But make sure you have it. EJD Construction. Call Eric. This is the owner. That's his cell phone. 305-433-4843 for EJDConstruction.com.